Shalom and welcome to Psalm 136. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov, ki li'olam chasdo. His kindness is everlasting, or overcoming. This is a psalm of pizmon. It's a chorus. Rav Friedman notes that we do not only find the pizmon in our psalm here, with which we're quite familiar because we recite it every Shabbat as well as on holiday, but we recite it in other psalms in Tehillim. In Psalm 129, the chorus is a little different. It's Rabat Tsiraruni Minu Urai. Great has been my affliction from youth. And then Yomarna Yisrael, let Israel recite that despite the afflictions, God has come to his salvation. Similarly, in Psalm 124, the Pizmon comes with the word Lulei Hashem Shahayalanu. Were it not for the fact that God was with us, this was meant as a chorus for one to recite and everyone to respond. The pizmon of Ki Li'olam Chasdo, I related in Psalm 117, in which I discuss God's attribute of chesed, kindness, and emet, truth, which seems to clash. Yet God's mercy and compassion overcome the justice. And thus we sing out his chesed evermore. We can split the psalm of Ki Li'olam Chasdo into sections along the lines of the previous psalm, as we mentioned there. 1-3 describes God's greatness towards whom gratitude should be directed. 4-9 describing God's creating the heavens and the earth, the reason to thank him. 10-20, God's providence over Israel in Egypt and in the desert. In the last section, 21-26, God's special relationship with his nation and the world. The Midrash wonders why there are 26 verses and 26 times in which we recite Ki Li'olam Chasdo. Chachamim brings an explanation from the Midrash, which says it relates to the 26 generations from Adam to the receiving of the Torah. Or perhaps it has to do with numerology, the gematria of the name of God, which is 26. Or perhaps Chacham suggests that the first three verses are just an introduction. The final verse, the conclusion, we're left with 22 verses corresponding to the alphabet. I choose to follow Maimonides' position in the Guide of the Perplexed, section 3, chapter 26, in which he states, know that numbers do not always have special meaning. Many times the Torah mentions numbers without aim or intention. If the number had been different, people would have asked about that one instead. Thus we begin. Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki l'olam chasdo. Hodu l'Elohei ha'Elohim ki l'olam chasdo. Hodu l'Adonai ha'Adonim ki l'olam chasdo. So once again, the individual calls out, thanks to God for he is good. And everyone responds, ki l'olam chasdo. His kindness endures forever. Thanks to God of the gods. Thanks to the Lord of the Lord. And they respond, ki li'olam chasdo. The term Elohei ha'Elohim is strange. It's implying that while there is God with a capital G, there are other gods with also capital Gs. But that must not make sense, since the Torah repeats over and over, there's no God but I. So commentators jump to explain that it must refer to the angels, whom are sometimes called God, Elohim. Amos Chacham offers a second possibility that the Elohim are the gods, lowercase, to whom the nations of the world bow down, and therefore, in that language, the psalm addresses them, that there's only one true God. Next section, Lo Se Niflaot Gidolot Levado Ki L'olam Chasdo, Lo Se Hashamayim B'Tvuna Ki L'olam Chasdo, Lo Rakar Etzel Hamayim, Lo Se Rem Gidolim, each time Ki L'olam Chasdo, Et HaShemesh L'mishalot Bayom, Et HaReach V'Kochavim L'mishalot B'Layla. To him, who alone does great wonders, his loving kindness endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, to him who stretched out the earth above the waters, to him who made the great lights, to the sun that rules by day, to the moon and stars that rule by night, every single time, ki li'olam chasdo, ki li'olam chasdo. This section praises God for his oseh, his making certain aspects of creation. Which aspects? The great wonders, the heavens, the earth above the waters, great lights, sun and moon and stars to rule, for all we say, ki li'olam chasdo. In verse four, however, there seems to be an extra word that many commentators discuss. It says, lo se niflaot gidolot levado, alone. The Midrash asks, did he have others who helped him create other things? I mean, God creates. What does it mean that this time God created alone? Rashi suggests that it was before he created the angels, and therefore those things were levado, and afterwards angels helped. this we're familiar with when we read the Rashi on Naaseh Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmutenu. Let us make man. The Midrash says it has to do with God telling the angels, hey, let's do it together. The author of Ho'il Moshe suggests it comes to negate the assumed power of idols, of Elilim. Levado, there's only God. The two great lights are then expanded upon, each with its own verse and its own ode of gratitude to God, sun and moon, they who govern and shine light on the day and night. With this, the psalmist concludes the section on creation. But why begin with creation? The Midrash in the beginning of Torah noted that upon entertaining the creation of the world, the attribute of truth protested, saying man will just sin and end up destroying everything. And he was right. But then the attribute of kindness and mercy spoke up, pleading that God should create man despite his imperfections, and God relents. Perhaps according to this approach, we can explain why some aspects of history were chosen to be recorded in this psalm and others not. For example, there's no mention of the flood. Why not? For the maker of the flood, Kili Olam Chasto. Or there's no command of Abraham, Kili Olam Chasto. There's no cultivating of the tribe of Yaakov. Instead, it goes straight to Exodus from Egypt. And then there's no verse which says to the giver of the Torah, Kili Olam Chasto, or to whom he bequeathed the land of Israel, Kili Olam Chasto. Rather, very specific areas are listed. Here they are. Creation, Exodus, splitting the sea, guiding in the desert, killing the great kings, remembering Israel, saving them, providing sustenance to all beings. Perhaps it is these areas where Israel truly didn't deserve God's miracle to the extent that it was provided. According to truth, the world should not have been created. God's kindness overcame. Abraham was worthy of God's reward. He earned that right, and Isaac and Jacob as well. And therefore, there's no need for Kili Olam Chasto. Israel and Egypt suffered slavery for hundreds of years and still held on to their identity, but they also sinned. Perhaps they deserved an exodus, but not on the level of wonders and miracles. That spectacle is the kindness which overcame. Israel complained even during the exodus, which would lead to truth, arguing that they should never have been saved. Certainly not with the greatest of all miracles, the splitting of the sea. And yet, God's kindness overcame. And Israel was able to see their enemies swept up by the waters of the Yam Suf. L'molichamo b'midbar, guiding his nation in the desert. That took place after the sin of the spies. By right, Israel should have been forsaken by God, having rejected him in the land. Yet, Kili Olam Chasto. What about the inclusion of the conquering of the armies of Sichon, Og, and others? God promised the land of Israel, the defined borders, to Abraham and to his descendants. Not Transjordan. Israel could have bypassed the country surrounding the promised land and made their way on their own. God in compassion, however, made the nations obstinate and come out to fight against Israel in order to give the second generation the confidence to fight the battles once they entered Canaan. They lost that confidence because the first generation rejected the land and instilled that fear into their children. God's kindness overcame, and he provided yet another generosity to his children. Finally, God provided enough raw material for the entire world due to his everlasting kindness. But how is that extra kindness? After all, people need to eat food, and if God did not provide, everyone would starve. Commentaries note the verse should be read in the present, not the past. God's providence is ongoing, Kili Olam Chasto. He could have created his world and left it. That is what the attribute of justice would have expected. Instead, his kindness makes his providence in the present a constant force of sustenance. Ki, the Olam Chasto. The great Hallel is a prayer which acknowledges God's conquering his truth attribute with kindness and mercy, with compassion and love, going above and beyond for his chosen nation, ultimately the world. This is truly the essence of Ki, the Olam Chasto.